As I reflect both on our readings for today and the feast that we celebrate of the Holy Family, I realize how idealistic we can view these kinds of things. As though, from our readings for today, it pictures this household, this family, that is so united in love that there's no conflict and everyone gets along and everyone's respected and it's like perfect. Or super boring, however you want to see that. And so in some ways, when we think of the family and we think of what our ideals are, we get this very idealistic picture of the family, that everything is just placid and calm and wonderful. But yet, as we dive a little bit under the surface of our readings, there's an adage out there that helps us understand it. Every law is made for a reason. So you kind of wonder what the actual family life of the Israelites was like that led to readings like this, where they had to make very clear descriptions of everything, which to us seems rather antiquated. Or we may turn our attention to the Holy Family and say, this is the ideal of family. They must have gotten along just fine. And then you look at their life a little bit more and realize, it was really super complicated, if not chaotic. First of all, you have poor Joseph, who doesn't have a child of his own. He now has to raise God, being just an ordinary man. He's in this family where two of his family members, the only other two, are sinless, so he's the only one that can commit sins at the moment. Think of how awkward that was. Then on top of that, he has a wife who has a child that's not his, and he has to figure out that. They have to flee from a tyrant who wants to kill his son, making jobs in three different cities as they go. He has to now raise God. What do you do with that? So the whole family life is just weird. And then today's gospel is no different. They come hoping for this nice, simple event where they bring the child to the Lord and offer the sacrifice like normal. And then this random guy comes up and takes the child out of her arms and said, look, the redemption of Israel. Can't I have a moment of rest? Then after giving birth, she's there in this manger with all these animals running around. And then these shepherds, weird shepherd guys, show up. Like, leave me alone. Then the wise men from the east come. It's just chaos for 2 years. If this is our ideal, our families are pretty good right now. But this gives us a really important picture, though. What is the ideal family? What was it that made the Holy Family truly idealistic? And our answer is, it comes from the reading from Colossians. It was a group united in love, working towards the expression of virtue. That's really what it was. We should hope for chaos and concern and problems in our families because they teach us humility. They teach us courage. They teach us forgiveness and how to forgive. All these things are rooted in what family life is. What it's meant to be at its most idealistic point is that we truly become who we're supposed to be. True human beings that are rooted in God and looking towards virtuous living. That's the ideal family. And from there, I want to verge into a topic that's far more important for me, and that is our parish family. We use it every so often as a reality of who we are. We are a family. So that is one image we can use to describe who we are. We are people united under God the Father with Mary our Mother, working towards virtue, right? Well, I honestly think that the better example for how we really understand our parish living is like a gym membership. With a gym membership, you go and you sign up and you put in your information, you get a card, and it lets you access to the gym. And now you have free rein over all this stuff, machines and equipment, exercises, whatever. And so after getting that wonderful membership and feeling good about it, there are three different groups of people that will work with that membership. There's a first group, which we call New Year's resolution people, that get their membership, super excited, go for a few days, realize they have no idea what's going on, no idea what to do, and it's not as much fun as they thought, and they all fall away. They keep paying it for whatever reason, but they don't actually go to the gym. Then there's that 10% group, which work through the hassle of figuring out the machines and the exercises, find a routine, and therefore find some sort of joy and fulfillment in it. They have built a system to which the gym makes sense and gives itself meaning. That's that 10%. The other 90% will kind of come in and out as things ebb and flow and as they feel they need to, and they'll figure out some things, but it never really takes on meaning, never takes on part of who they are. And yet this example is really apt for describing our church right now. Because the membership card is like our baptism. We were baptized, and therefore we are members of the church. We can hold that up and say, look at me, I am Catholic. And the first 1% or 5% or 10% or nowadays 40% will go, that was fun, but I don't know why I did that. And they'll fade away. To give you a sobering statistic, those who are baptized as adults, only 1 in 6 will remain in the church 3 years after their baptism. I speak truth to what my words are. I know what the statistics are, and I've seen it myself. So that gym membership really is an apt example. And there are that 10%, probably a little higher, more like 30, 40%, which will find meaning and find joy in this. And they'll see that in the church there's something. They'll spend the time and effort to figure it out and work through the difficulties. And in so doing, it brings meaning and vitality to their life. But there's also a great bulk of people that pop in and out because they haven't really found that. They haven't found meaning and treat it like a membership. I'm always baptized, therefore, ta-da, here I am. But we have to see things differently. We have to really cultivate the image of our parish life in the image of a family. And that family image is super important on several levels. Because once we have that card saying, I'm baptized, it means something. You can't be unbaptized. We can't get rid of it. In the Middle Ages, they tried really hard. There are people they did not want to say as part of the church any longer. And if you ever see the movie about Thomas More, there's a scene in it in which they excommunicate someone, the formal rite of excommunication, in which they process in with lit candles, and at the moment of the pronouncement of excommunication, they flip the candles upside down and smash them into the ground, basically symbolizing, this was a candle of your baptism, you are no longer. Boom. And for priests they didn't like, or thought they shouldn't be part of the church anymore, they would take them and they would shave off the palms of their hands, because the hands are consecrated at ordination, saying, you are no longer a priest. We've shown that to you. So there are times in the church in which we really did try to say, we don't want you any longer. But now we've flipped. And this flip is really critically important for us, in that we very much so emphasize the fact that once baptized, always baptized. Doesn't matter what you do with it, but the fact of baptism sticks with us. Which is a strong call to all of us. Because thinking here in Harlowton, how many people are baptized and should be here but are not? I bet if we pulled the numbers together, we could almost double our congregation just by the people who should be here. Which shows us how vital that information is that I am one of the baptized, but how hard it is to stay faithful. Which leads to the second part. All of us. How does this mean? What does it mean to each individual one of us that I am part of a family? Not just this parish, but the wider church family of 1 billion people. Do I know their names? Do I know what's going on in their lives? What does it mean to be part of a family? Well, as part of a parish family, it means that this is where we grow in virtue. This is where we learn humility when someone ticks us off. This is where we learn forgiveness when someone insults us. This is where we learn courage when we know something needs to change. This is where we learn patience when we think something should be our way, but it's not going that way. We can learn a lot of the virtues here in our parish life because of that very fact that we are a family, not a membership. In the same way, as I mentioned a moment ago, we have a Father, God our Father. We have Mary our Mother, and I'm here as your pastor. You don't get to choose me, sorry. So if you don't like me, too bad. Because you don't choose your pastors here. And that's important because we don't also choose our families. We don't choose our parents. We don't choose our siblings. And so why should we have get the choice of our parish family? We don't get to choose who's in the pew, and we shouldn't. If we got to choose everyone, we'd make this perfect idealistic world where I can do whatever I want. But we don't because we want something better. And so although you can't choose me, it also means we have to work together. We have to talk, we have to dialogue, we have to strive for something better. And that's part of the joy of being a parish family. And so I encourage you very strongly to take up this call. What does it mean for me that I'm part of this family? Do I know everyone's names? Do I know who should be here and isn't? Do I know what's going on in their lives? Have I asked them? Am I willing to share my life with other people? This is how we grow together, and we start to learn virtuous living. Most importantly, when we truly recognize our family identity, we are part of the baptized. These are the people who matter to me. Then we also realize we'll recognize God present in our midst.